I want to thank you for choosing to join with us and seek the Lord on this day. You may print out my outline from the website if you would like to. There is also a place there for online giving that's new for us this year. We are going to meet on Sunday at Kalita at 9:30. We will be practicing all the CDC guidelines, and it looks like that might be the last time we get together for a while. Our governor is putting some restrictions on us that will affect our getting together next Sunday. But today, we get to look into the book of Acts and into the life and the spirit and how it directed and influenced these people's lives. The message is for October 25th of the year 2020, and it's entitled The Conversion of Lydia. It's taken from Acts chapter 16, verses 11 to 15. And I subtitled the message, The Gospel Comes to Philippi. Point number one, the power of prayer. Point number two, the power of God. Just for fun, I thought it would be interesting to play with P's today. So I played with making an alliterated outline of P's. My Bible subtitled this section, The Conversion of Lydia, but then as I began to get into it, I realized it's really the story of the gospel coming to the city of Philippi and how the power of prayer and the power of God affected things there. So the Bible layout lends itself to putting prayer first, then the power of God second. Just for the record, I would always put the power of God first, always. But because of the way the Bible laid it out, I followed that. But obviously, in my heart, God's power is way more important than our prayer. This is the entrance into the center stage of God's grand drama of the city of Philippi. This is where we will get the book of Philippians. So Paul will start a church here in Philippi, and then he will write a letter from Rome to the believers there that we call the book of Philippians. Today, in the world that we live in, center stage is the event that we will call Black Lives Matter in history. Not so long ago, it was the Me Too movement and the movement of women's value that was center stage. Last week, we illustrated God's heart for the Ethiopians, that he went there with his spirit before he went to Macedonia that we look at today. So in God's heart, black lives matter to God, and they matter to our little church also. This week, a woman named Lydia will step into center stage. Her life, her home, will be the petri dish God will grow his church from. So this woman will be the center of the church in Philippi, and I chose a petri dish to illustrate that. I'm going to read for us Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15, and I'll be reading from the NIV Reader's Version. At Taros, we got into a boat. We sailed straight for Samothrace. The next day, we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony. It was an important city in that part of Macedonia. We stayed there for several days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the city gate, walked down to the river, and there we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who were gathered there together. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia. She was from the city of Thyatira. Her business was selling purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to accept Paul's message. She and her family were baptized. Then she invited us to her home. "Do you consider me to be a believer in the Lord?" she asked. "If you do, come and stay at my house." She succeeded in getting us to go to her home with her. That's the end of our scripture reading for today. So, where are we? Taros. Where is that? It's where we started today. Well, that's on the coast of what we would call Turkey today. A two-day boat trip of about 150 miles on the Mediterranean Sea into the Aegean Sea gets us to the coast port of Neapolis. Today, we would call this southern Greece. A note, this is the part of the world where the rich from Europe will go for their winter getaway. I have a number of friends planning to head to Texas and Florida for the winter. But in Europe, this is where people would go. And if you were in Russia, it would be about this same area on the Black Sea where the Russians go to get away from the winter, if you have the money to do that. The Holy Spirit and Paul's normal startup would be in a Jewish synagogue. So, there must not have been one of those in Philippi. My outline. The gospel comes to Philippi. Point number one, the power of prayer. There is a place for prayer in the salvation of Lydia. When people pray, people get saved. We need to pray for specific lost people who might be saved. Even if we have to wait for years for the fruit of our prayers to take effect. Paul will write to the church in Rome this, in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. "Brothers and sisters, with all my heart I long for the people of Israel to be saved. I pray to God for them." The end. So Paul, with all his heart, prayed for the people of Israel, the children of Israel, to be saved. A on our outline. Lydia's salvation involved prayer. Lydia's salvation involved prayer. My blank is prayer. The NIV would translate, "She was a worshiper of God." The Message would translate, "God-fearers," is the way they translate it. God-fearers were people who were attracted to Judaism, but they had not taken the steps to become a convert. For Lydia to become a convert to Judaism, she would need to have a man who was willing to be cut, circumcised. Paul or Jesus would accept Lydia as a standalone woman. She would not have to have a man to be accepted by Jesus or by Paul. But the Jewish church at that time would require her to be under the authority of a man. And for many centuries, that was the way it was in church. What was the Holy Spirit doing here with Lydia? What is our takeaway? The truth is, from the birth of his church, God sought out women and blacks to be a part of his church. That's the truth of what we're learning from the book of Acts. Early on in the book of Acts, when an Ethiopian eunuch was saved and baptized and went back to Candace, he took the Spirit of God and the gospel of Jesus to Ethiopia. And in our lesson today, Lydia, a woman without any indication of a man involved in her life, is the center of our activity and becomes the center of the church. It wasn't long ago we looked at John Mark's mother, who was the center of a home fellowship in Jerusalem. So I want to take a look at the Message translation of Acts 16, 13 to 14. It says this: On the Sabbath, we went to left the city and went down to the river, where we had heard there would be a prayer meeting. We took our place among the women who were gathered there, and we talked with them. One woman, Lydia, who was from Thyatira, was a dealer in expensive textiles, known as a God-fearing woman. As she listened with intensity to what was being said, the Master gave her a trusting heart, and she believed. The end. So, she was given by the good Lord a trusting heart, and she believed in the gospel. The salvation that we're talking about here is a heart work. Without an open heart, there is no salvation. And only God alone can change the heart. In our day, we've lost the focus of the heart. We try to change people from the outside in rather than from the inside out. The fact is that God heals from the inside out, spiritually and physically. I've been having fun playing with the dog bite on my ring finger on my right hand. For some odd reason, I can't help but pick at the scabs on my big scar there. But the fact is that my body is healing this dog bite from the inside out, and I am fascinated with picking the scabs off the outside so that the inside can become more of the skin that's exposed. But God always works from the inside out, and I'm afraid we've lost some of that. We try to change people by putting them into better clothes and better jobs and better homes and better incomes with better health. But that will never change the heart. You can't change the heart. We will only make a better blue-collar or white-collar sinner. That's all that we will do. If we really want to change people, we need to change the heart. And only God and the power of prayer can do that. Charles Spurgeon wrote this. He entitled this, Those Hearts That the Lord Opened. She did not open her own heart. Her prayers did not do it. Paul did not do it. The Lord himself must open the heart to receive the things which make for our peace. He alone can put the key into the hole of the door and open it and get admittance for himself. He is the heart's maker and the heart's master. I believe in the doctrine of election because I'm quite sure that if God had not chosen me, I would have never chosen him. I am sure he chose me before I was born, or else I never would have chosen him afterwards. And he must have elected me for reasons that are unknown to me, for I never could find any reason in myself why he should have looked upon me with such special love. That's the end of my Charles Spurgeon quote. But I can relate with Charles. I'm really sure that I wouldn't have chosen God had he not reached out to me first. His love for me wooed me and drawed me into the kingdom. God sees the possibility for our life. God sees the person we can become. Would you be willing to give him more of you and believe in what he does for us more and more? Be on our outline. Lydia's salvation involved Paul's proclaiming. Lydia's salvation involved Paul's proclaiming. So our P word for your blank there is proclaiming. They sat down and began to speak to the women. The gospel was verbally shared with them. The seed has to be planted if we expect a crop. We spread 50 pounds of grass seed on my 1,000-square-foot front yard project. That's enough for approximately 3 acres of land, and I put it on 1,000 square feet. Plus, we put 20 pounds of winter rye on there that should be sprouting anytime soon. When God adds water, something should turn green. Do we spread the good news of his gospel that thick? It's obvious in my illustration that we overseeded my front yard. Way more seed than what was necessary to get the coverage. Do we spread the gospel that thick in the lives of people that we're around? We do not know who God's elect are. Paul did not know who was God's elect in that group of women. Now, Jesus did know, but he's a different breed of human, so you can't actually go by him. But the rest of us don't know who God's elect are. So we need to spread the seed liberally. Can you think of someone you hope you want to be with us in heaven? Can you? Can we renew our heartfelt prayers for them? Will you do that? Would you be willing to do that? 7 years ago, yesterday, my wife Julie got to go to heaven and meet Jesus face to face. And someday soon, I hope to get to go to heaven too and meet Jesus face to face and be with Julie and my daughter that's there. And I'm looking forward to that. But I have people in my life that I'm not certain will have that opportunity unless the gospel gets through to their heart. How about you? Do you have family or friends? And maybe you've kind of waned in 2020 here in your fervent prayers for their salvation. This would be a good time to restart that effort. So our outline, the gospel comes to Philippi. Point number one, the power of prayer. And point number two, our second point, the power of God. The truth is, it is God that does the saving of people. That's how people get saved, is by the power of God. A on our outline, Lydia's salvation required the power of God. Lydia's salvation required the power of God. God is the one who always causes the rebirth of a person. His Holy Spirit makes one alive spiritually. My friends call this his irresistible grace. I call it God's love. Whatever you call it, or maybe I should have write what you call him, it's a wonderful thing to experience this birth in someone's life. Living in the middle of a cornfield could help us to understand what I think is true. You see, God does the saving. We get to be the people who get the gospel out to others. God will cause the increase, but we, like our farmer friends, are to plant and water. Paul will try to explain this to the church in Corinth with this truth written in 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9. And I'm going to read from the NIV Reader's Version. Quote, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So the one who plants is not important. The one who waters is not important. It is God who makes things grow. He is the one who is important. The one who plants and the one who waters have the same purpose. The Lord will give each of us a reward for our work. We work together with God. You are like God's field. I inserted corn. You are like God's cornfield. The end. Our part is very small when we share the gospel. The conviction and conversion comes from God. I found a study done by the University of Iowa that may make this clear for us. Quote, to produce 100 bushels of corn on 1 acre of land, it will require 4 million pounds of water, 6,800 pounds of oxygen, 125 pounds of potassium, 75 pounds of yellow sulfur, and another of other elements that I was too lazy to type. It will also require rain and sunshine at the right times. There are many hours of the farmer's labor that is needed also, but it is estimated that only 5% of the produce is from the farmer and can be attributed to the effort of man. The end. So of all it takes to produce the 100 bushels of corn on that acre, only 5% of that is the effort of man. The other 95% is a gift from God. That reads about right to me about our part in anyone who is ever born again. Is that how you see it also? That it is God that is 95% responsible for that, and our small part of proclaiming the gospel is really only like 5%? So the scene in God's grand drama takes place on a riverbank today, and this river is feeding water into the Aegean Sea. Why did the Holy Spirit start here? Was it the water? Is that why? So that when Lydia was saved, born again, she could be baptized immediately along with all the members of her family? I think so. I think that's why they were there. B on our outline. Lydia's salvation results in public testimony. Lydia's salvation results in public testimony. And I bet you can guess the P word to fill in your blank. Public. Believer's baptism. Lydia gave a clear businesswoman's testimony of her salvation. When you think of Lydia, do you see anyone you know as a good illustration of her life? As I read over this and thought about the life of Lydia, I see Deb. Deb is an excellent businesswoman. She and I get the honor of sitting on our church board and our camp boards together. And she is an amazing contributor from a businesswoman standpoint on both of those boards. Her business understanding of how things work is invaluable. When Deb was working, she drove hundreds of thousands of miles going from home to home to visit young women in our area as a part of her service with our community health department. So she's who I see when I think of Lydia. I want to read to you the Message translation of Acts chapter 16, verse 15. It says, after she was baptized, along with everyone in her household, she said with a surge of hospitality, if you're confident that I am in this with you and believe in the Master truly, come to my home and be my guest. Well, we hesitated, but she wasn't about to take no for an answer, so we gave in. The end. The fact is, every believer in the book of Acts was baptized after placing their faith in Jesus Christ. Every believer in Acts was baptized. Matthew 28:19 is the job description Jesus left with us just before he ascended into heaven. I'm going to read the NIV Reader's Version of Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them, and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So you must go make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And you can be sure that I am always with you to the very end. That is the end of Matthew 28. The fact one believes in Jesus and his gospel, this is an internal change from death into life. Well, then what? One follows Jesus in believer's baptism. This is an outward testimony of an internal change. That's what believer's baptism is. An outward public testimony of an internal change that's taken place. Chad did this up at camp not so long ago. He had been a believer for a long time, but had never been obedient in believer's baptism. And so we got a horse tank, and he was baptized up at camp where his heart is. Marty did this in Pine Creek not so long ago with a young woman that he and Jackie had been spending time with. But after she had become a believer, she wanted to be baptized as a believer's external testimony. Sue, who is visiting our church, would like to do this also. She's expressed this desire. I'm going to try to get permission to bring the camp's horse trough into our basement and baptize Sue there. If that's not what happens in the spring, we'll go to Pine Creek and baptize Sue there. Have you followed Jesus into believer's baptism? Just to be clear, we in the United Brethren in Christ believe and practice this pattern. We dedicate babies to the Lord. We ask their parents and their family to model the life of Christ before them, share the gospel with them, and as you are led by the Holy Spirit. Then, after a clear testimony of believing in Jesus our Master and Lord, we do a believer's baptism of them. It's a public testimony. See on your outline, Lydia's salvation resulted in provision. Lydia's salvation resulted in provision. Provision is your blank. Lydia was a well-to-do woman. She had acquired wealth and used it to minister to God's people. Lydia would have been well connected with people of wealth and power at that time. The Holy Spirit seeks both the rich and the poor. Jesus spent a lot of time with poor people, but Lydia will spend a lot of time with people of wealth. God reaches out to both. In my New American Standard Bible's commentary on this section of Scripture, I found this. Among the women gathered there, one stood out. Her name was Lydia. She was from the ancient city and territory of her native city, Thyatira. She was described as a dealer of goods dyed in purple, a likely occupation since Thyatira was indeed the center of that dye trade in the area. Lydia's business was not incidental as a detail. It marked her as a woman, a person of means. Purple goods were expensive and often associated with royalty. Thus, her business was a lucrative one. Lydia's invitation of the four missionaries to stay in her home in itself indicates that she had considerable substance, such as guest rooms and servants to accommodate them adequately. Of all Paul's churches, the Philippians generously stood out. They continue to send support to him in his missionary endeavors elsewhere. That's the end of the New American Standard Bible's commentary on this section. I'd like to read to you now Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. This is Paul bragging on this church in Philippi. It says, "And you believers at Philippi know what happened when I left Macedonia. Not one church helped me in the matter of giving and receiving. You were the only one that did. That was in the early days when you first heard the good news. When I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help there when I needed it. And you did it again and again. That's the end. So the Philippians, like you people in Kalita, are good givers to God's work. They and you have a good testimony in this part of life. We are in a point in time when giving to our Abilene Christian Camp is in a critical stage. With COVID's restrictions, the cash flow at camp has really went down, but the expenses remain constant. If the Lord's Spirit would lead, a gift to Adeline Christian Camp would be greatly accepted. Another illustration is at the Kalita Church, we're gathering a special offering for the Helping Hands Food Ministry at one of our local churches. And we're asking people to make a check out to the church, and then note it on the bottom so we can give Helping Hands one large check to help them in getting ready for the Thanksgiving season. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are deeply thankful for the love that you give to us and the grace that you reach out to us. Humbly, we fall before you and confess your power, and we pray for your Spirit to lead us into paths that would help others understand your gospel and surrender to the reality of Jesus Christ as their Lord. We ask this in his name. Amen.
I woke up with a broken heart in my chest. I couldn't sleep, couldn't get no rest. Weighed down by the heaviness of life. And I try to shake it flipping through my phone. But all it does is make me feel more alone. How could anything that feels so wrong be right? 7 billion voices separate us, but only one can show us who we are. We are made in the image of, made in the image of God. Beautiful shades of love. Made in the image of, made in the image of God. That's where the light comes from, yeah. We all need the same medicine. We all need another second chance. There's no first in line at the foot of the cross. God. Yeah, we're